All right, we'll say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's share to thank. Our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Sivan, Haba Alinu L'Tov, Avram Shendi Kelman, for dedicating all the Shimon Shoshos this month in memory of Rafael Yechiel Ben Avram Zichrono Livracha. Our Day of Learning sponsors, Alan and Sherry Steinmetz, a commission of the yard site of Alan's mother, Chaya Bas Meir, Zichrono Livracha, whose yard site is today, the 17th of Sivan, and for the continued aliyah of Alan's father, Shlomo Tzvi Ruvain Ben Reb Shimon, Zichrono Livracha. Beautiful. Our Daf Yomi sponsors for today, Alan Zara Steinberg, in the schools of continued health for Shulam, Mishana Bas Susha, and for an ultimate refuah shalim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Nishamos Avin Aliyah, the family Zeinachama, all those who need refuah shalim together with Kol Chole Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu Shem Yemerit Hashem, continue to look after our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. Allow our holy soldiers to be successful. B'chol Ma'aseh Yedeihem. Rabbosu, with that, let us begin today's daf. A really great daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Lamed Gimel 33. We are picking up Yemerit Hashem on Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Remember again, just to reorient ourselves for a moment, in yesterday's Mishnah and the Mishnah on the end of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph 32a, we had a fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Shapev and Rabbi Akiva. Namely, what happens if during the Shechita, the Shechita is botched and the animal ultimately ends up dying as a result of botched Shechita? So Rabbi Shapev said the animal is an Avela. Rabbi Akiva said the animal is a Trefa. Then the Gemara went ahead and said that Halacha Lamaisa, Rabbi Akiva came around to the position ultimately of Rabbi Shapev. We then went ahead and brought a Braisa, which contradicted Rabbi Akiva, and then we reconciled that Braisa. It's not a contradiction. Braisa and Mishnah, and Mishnah lo zaza mimkoma, that Mishnah reflected our earlier view of Rabbi Akiva. In the midst of that, the Gemara quoted an interesting idea, Gufa. So this is where we're picking up. Gufa, Amr B'Shim and Lakish. Shachat ha-sakana v'achar kach nikva ha-reya k'shera. So remember again, the Gemara said itself, it's quoting from the previous discussion. Rish Lakish said that if you cut the kana, you cut the trachea, and then between the cutting of the trachea and the esophagus, you perforated the lungs. Now, we haven't seen this inside, but lung perforation makes the animal a trefa. Obviously, I will say, so again, remember, we haven't gotten to this yet, but when an animal is a trefa, even if you conduct a proper shechita on the animal is still going to be invalid for use, invalid for consumption. So in this case over here, interestingly enough, you cut the trachea, then between trachea and esophagus, you perforate the lungs. What's the halacha? Kshera. Ultimately, again, the animal is kosher. Now, what's the pshat? Amarava, lo amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish ela bereya, hoil v'chaye reya tuluya bekane. Now, why is Rabbi? So again, we saw this yesterday. This is dafka, a unique halacha by the lungs. Because since, literally translated, since the life of the lungs is dependent on the trachea, once the trachea is cut, the Gemara says, it's as if the lungs are out already. Right? Ultimately, again, as if the lashon before us, as if the lungs are sitting in a basket. Like, in other words, because the lungs no longer have life with a cut trachea. So therefore, again, a perforation in the lungs post the cut of the trachea in no way is going to make the animal a trefa. Okay, that was Rish Lakish's statement. But again, I will say what's important to understand over here is Rava qualified the statement, and Rava said this is dafka, a lung trachea idea, since the lungs themselves are dependent on an intact trachea. So maskif Rabbi Zira, now again I will say, what we would understand from that is as follows, and this is very important. What we understand from that is that if in between the cutting of the two simanim, some other trefa issue would arise, the animal would in fact be a trefa. This is unique because essentially once the trachea is cut, it's as if the lungs have been removed. So therefore, something happening to the lungs between the cutting of the trachea and the esophagus is irrelevant. But if, let's say again, you were to cut the trachea and the animal were to get a hole in its heart, which also makes it a trefa, right? Then the animal will be a trefa. So again, you could develop a trefa in between trachea and esophagus. To which the Gemara says, Maskev Rabbi Zira. So watch this, Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Zira comes on. Rabbi Zira says, I disagree. Me'achar shenoldu basimane trefe tarta, mali berea, mali b'nei me'ayim. Okay, so we'll say now, watch this. Rabbi Zira comes along, Rabbi Zira wants to argue this. He says, I disagree. Rabbi Zira essentially says this, I think once you've started the shechita, the animal can't become a trefa anymore. Right? In other words, once you've cut that trachea, the process of shechita has begun. If the process of shechita has begun, the animal cannot become a trefa. So he says, what does it matter? What does it matter if something happened in the lungs or something happened in the intestines? Bottom line, if you began the process of shechita, the animal can no longer become a trefa. So you might as well say, I'm sorry, Lam Beis 32b, I realize I didn't remember, I mentioned this, five lines up from the bottom. Sorry. 32b, five lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara says, V'hadar bei Rabbi Zeira. And Rabbi Zeira later on retracted this position. So Gilbo says, see here what's happening over here? So Rabbi Zeira wants to advance what could be a very novel understanding, that once you've begun the process of shechita, essentially the animal can't become a trefa anymore. Now, where does he get this from? He gleans this from Reish Lakish. The issue is that Reish Lakish is mentioning this in a very specific situation of the trachea lungs, which are clearly connected. So the Gemara said, but then, Fadr Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira then retracted this position. Where was he retracted? Listen to this. The boy Rabbi Zeira, Nikvu b'neme ayim bin simen l'simen mahu. So ultimately, again, if the intestines become perforated. Now, intestinal perforation is in and of itself a trefa. What happens if the intestines become perforated between the cutting of one simen and the next? Mimitztarev simen rishon l'simen shin l'tara medina ve'ela. Olo, do we see the first simen is connected to the second simen, so that the animal shouldn't be an avela, or not? Or not? So we'll say, so there's a lot of things unfolding in this particular question, just to give you coming attractions. If you notice, what's the Gemara Shaila? The Gemara Shaila is, does the shechting of the second simen prevent the animal from becoming an avela? That's the Shaila of the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't seem to entertain the idea that the animal is what? Not a trefa, which would seem to indicate that even between simonim, even between the cutting of signs, the animal, or you know, parts of the animal can become a trefa. But we'll get to that in just a moment. Vaminan. And we ask also, so again, the shayla that Rabbi Zeira is asking is, if the intestines become perforated in between the cutting of the trachea and the esophagus, bein kana, right, bein simen l'simen mahu, mimitztarev simen l'rishon l'simen sheni, l'tara medina vela, do we say that essentially once you've begun the process of shechita, so the second simen becomes, or I should say the first simen becomes connected to the second simen. So even if the animal is not fit for consumption, halacha l'maisa, the animal is not going to be an avela. Olo, or not. Or not, or do we say essentially again that the animal can become an avela even during the midst of shechita? Va'aminan. And we ask, lav hainu debai ilfa. Is this not the very shayla that Ilfa asked? What did Ilfa ask? So it's actually very interesting. Hotzi ubar es yado bein simen simen. Okay, so let's see. So just one word of introduction with this. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. It's the last Rashi on the daf, which is the last three and a half lines. V'haydi ilfa bebehima makasha, ubar niter b'shchitas imo. So this is actually going to be a fascinating story. You're going to see it called Ben Pakua. Ben Pakua means like this. If you shecht an animal, and then you open it up, and there's a fetus, there's a baby inside that animal, the baby is permitted with the shchita of the mother. So just see how fascinating that is. So that literally means even if that baby goes ahead, right, you open up the mother, the baby starts running around, you could just take a bite out of that animal. I'm not advising that, but I'm just saying, just for illustrative purposes, right? You can take a bite out of that animal without any shechita, without anything. Why? Because that animal is considered to be slaughtered through the shechita of its mother. That's Uber Yerachim. What we're going to get, it's really fascinating sugya. That's called Ben Pakua. So Uber Neter B'shechita Simo, Aval Hotzi Yado Kodem Shechita, Arminan Hasam Da Oso Ever Din Trefa Shechuti Yeshlo Shino Tarim. So we'll say, however, if let's say during the shechita of the mother, the animal extends a leg. So we will see that Halacha L'maisa, the fetus extends a leg, thank you. The fetus extends its leg outside of the womb of the mother, then ultimately, again, that limb is not permitted with the shechita of the mother. Now, what exactly that limb is? What is it? Is it Avram and Achai? Like, what is that? So Rashi over here says, the osa din ever trefa shechuta, that limb ultimately, again, has the status of a slaughtered limb of a trefa animal. Again, we'll discuss that. We don't have to delve too much into those intricacies right now. But go back to the Gemara. That's the background. That's the background. So actually, just finish up. Rashi says that she'ena matame the mehayni leshchita letaro. Now again, the idea over here is the good news is it's not nevela. That's the point over here. It's not nevela. It's trefa. Now go back to the Gemara. The boy Ilfa holds uber es yado bein simen lezimen mahu. So Moshe says now Ilfa asks a variation of that question. What happens if the fetus extended a limb out of the mother, out of the mother, in between, bless you, in between the shechita of the two simanim. So you cut the trachea, the uber extends its limb outside of its mother, then you shech the esophagus. What's the halacha? Bosai tap of Lamed Gimel, 33a. Mimit starif simen rishon le simen sheni le tara medina vela. Oh, lo. So here's the shayla. The shayla is, we'll say, do we say that the cutting of the first simen combines with the cutting of the second simen to at least say that that limb doesn't have the status of nevela? That's our shayla. And again, we'll say, now what do you see from here? Ad kan lo iboilon elo letara midi nevela. The shayla that's being asked over here, we'll say, is at least is the shechita. And we'll say, by the way, it happens to be, this is reminiscent of what we saw on Friday of last week. Remember, Yenabo said, "If yeshnam the shechita mitchila va'ad sofa." How do you view shechita? Do you view shechita as a continuum, right, or do you view shechita as an act that begins, right, as a continuum, or maybe it just occurs? Maybe shechita is just an event that occurs once everything is slaughtered. So here, the Gemara is asking, if something happens in the process of the shechita, what is the status of that event? So the Gemara says, but if you notice, the question over here only is, is that limb that extends out of the mother, is that ultimately nevela or not? So ad kan lo mibaylan la'el tarmi nevela, ava ba'achila asura. But ultimately, again, by achila, by consumption, it's clear that it's asur. So what do you see from here? You see from here that even Rabbi Zeira retracted his position, right? Remember, let's just go back for just a second. Reish Lakish said that if you shech the kana, and then between the kana and the vashat, trachea and esophagus, there's a perforation in the lungs, the animal is totally fine, totally kosher. Why? Because since the lungs are connected to the trachea, therefore, halacha lemaise, once you cut the trachea, it's as if the lungs are sitting in a basket. Therefore, I can't create trefa. Rabbi Zeira wanted to build on this. Rabbi Zeira wanted to say, really what it means is like this. Once you've begun the process of shechita, ultimately, again, the animal cannot become a trefa. Once you've begun the process, that's it. To which the Gemara said, Rabbi Zeira said that, then he retracted it. How do we know he retracted it? Because look at this case. In this case over here, where the fetus extended its limb in between the cutting of the two simanim, the Gemara is asking whether or not the rest of the shechita could prevent the limb from becoming an avela. But there's absolutely no havamina that what? That you could eat the limb. So you see from here that Rabbi Zeira retracted his position. Amar Leir, Bosei Lamed Gim Lamed Aleph 33a, four lines down from the top. Amar Rabbi Amar Leir of Acha Barav, the Ravina. Maybe Rabbi Zeira didn't retract his position. For Rabbi Zeira, the dvar of the Rava ka'amar v'lei lo sirale. And Rabbi Zeira is just espousing an idea in accordance with the position of Rava. But ultimately, again, Rabbi Zeira himself does not hold of it. Amar v'achar v'yakov. V'achar v'yakov says, Shmamina, Rabbi Shimon Lakish. So we'll say, this is really fascinating. So we learned first. So we'll say, let's go back for just a second. So now let's assume that where the Gemara is holding right now is Rabbi Zeira retracted his position. And therefore, what we are left with is one core central halacha. What's the core central halacha? That if you go ahead and you shecht an animal, and you cut the trachea, and then after cutting the trachea, some type of trepha, some type of perforation develops in the lungs, that does not invalidate the animal. The animal is still going to be kosher, right? Why? Because since the lungs are connected to the trachea, once the trachea is cut, it's as if the lungs are in a basket. And therefore, essentially, the lungs become halachically irrelevant after the cutting of the trachea. Okay, now that seems to be the piece of information that everyone is agreeing on. Now, Rabbi said this is wild. So, Vachar Bar Yaakov said it's on based on Reish Lakish, Mizamnin Yisrael Abnei Me'ayim, Ve'in Mizamnin Ovdei Kochavim Abnei Me'ayim. So, literally translated, that Halacha L'Maisa Jews can get together and eat intestines, right? And non-Jews can't get together and eat intestines. Now, what does that mean, right? Kishka, we've cornered the market on kishkas, right? Right? Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Midrash Lakish. Damar kevan shenechtach kana, havereya kimancha bidikula. Now that we've said, according to Reish Lakish, that halacha l'maisa, once you go ahead and you cut the trachea, so the lungs are as if they're sitting in a basket. Shma mina, listen to this. I'm reading Rashi. Rashi's almost right across. Ein mezamnin ovei kochav ma b'nei me'ayim yishum reya. Da havi kimi shot siya mina behema ba'oda mefarchases. Va'obed kochavim lav v'shchita tali hetar achila didei shelo huskeru shchita etzlo ve'evra menachai ne'esar ve'in liyotze ben midei ever. So let's add shem tomos. Aval Yisrael yotza midei ever menachai aydei shchitasa. So we'll say, so this is absolutely fascinating. What the Gemara wants to suggest is as follows. That for a Jew, right, what permits an animal? Shchita. Now again, I will say, now often, even after you shecht an animal, there's still movement in the animal. That movement is halachically irrelevant for us. Now we'll see halacha l'maisa what we do and what we don't do, but that movement post-shchita is halachically irrelevant for us. Once shchita's done, halacha l'maisa, you can eat the animal, even if the animal is moving. Right, what's the proof to that? The proof to that is this idea that once you cut the trachea, it's as if the lungs are sitting in a basket. Now, when the Gemara says it's as if the lungs are sitting in a basket, that's another way of saying, if you wanted to eat those lungs, you could eat the lungs also, right? It's fine. It's fine because for us, what matters is shchita. By Ovi Kochavim, by Gentile, the halacha is, the Rabbi will say, does Ovi Kochavim require shchita? Do they require shchita? No. But they must what? They must kill an animal before eating it, right? Because if you don't, it's Evermin Achai. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, the Gemara says, what's the nafkamina between a Jew and an Akum? So many nafkaminas. But for our purposes right now, is an Akum could only eat an animal once it's dead, dead. What's dead, dead? And that's a technical term. Dead, dead means no movement. No movement. So if there is like that, so in other words, which is fascinating, right? Because that, since an ovikom can only eat an animal once it's dead, so dead by definition means dead, dead, no movement. But since a Jew can eat an animal after shchita, once shchita is done, we don't really care what the animal's doing. The animal's running around, that's fine, do what you want, right? But at the end of the day, I'm allowed to eat. So in other words, so technically speaking, if you were to go ahead and shech the animal, remove the intestines, and the animal was still moving around, a Jew would be permitted to eat that, but an Akum would not. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason for this? Yisod de b'shchita talya milsa, because since for a Jew, consumption is based on shchita, kevan de'ika shchita ma'al yasa ishtari lehu. Once there's a proper shchita, ultimately, again, the animal is permitted. On the other hand, ovi kochavim, to be nechira sagilu, now ovi kochavim, now again, both say nechira literally means stabbing. But stabbing doesn't have to mean stabbing. What does stabbing mean? Stabbing just means killing. Since by an ovi kochavim, it's all about the killing, so ubemisa tal yamilsa, and therefore, again, it has to be dead, dead. If it's not dead, dead, hani ke'ever minachai. Wild. Right? That if an ovi kochavim eats from an animal that is still moving, even though clearly, again, for our purposes, the animal has been slaughtered, for me, it's mutter, for an ovi kochavim, it's ever menachai. It's wild. So by the way, so like literally again, you chop off the head of the chicken could be running around, absolutely can happen. The chicken could be running around. For me, totally mutter, for an ovi kochavim, if he eats that, that's ever menachai. That's Avram and Achai. Incredible. Amra Papa. So it's pretty wild idea. Now again, the truth is, it's not wild once you think about it, right? Because at the end of the day, it's just two different criteria for consumption. For Yisrael and Shchita. Once there's Shchita, that's it. The animal is permitted for consumption. You hear the distinction? For a Jew, it's almost like the matir is Shchita. For an Akum, the matir is death. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is if the animal is moving around without shchita. After shchita. For me, that's totally fine. For an akum, movement may represent life, and therefore he can't eat it. Fascinating. Amra Papa, haviyasimna kamid Rav Acha bar Yaakov, ubay. So Rav Papa said, I was sitting in front of Rav Acha bar Yaakov when he said this. Ubay de'imale. And I wanted to tell him the following. Mi ikamidi dili Yisrael shay oveg ucham aser. What are you talking about? Right? Is there anything in this world that is permitted for a Jew and is usher for an Akum? Right? Can you imagine such a thing? That seems a little bit on its head, right? We're allowed to eat something, ultimately, again, that a Gentile is not. So the Gemara says, Velo. Now, by the way, I will say, just so you should know, that argument actually happens to be not such an argument. There are plenty of things that we can eat that an Akum can't eat. I can eat Karban Pesach. An Akum can't eat Karban Pesach. All right. That's it. Right? But again, but it's not, right? No, but it happens to be that when you look into sacrificial law, that's where you find. But you could kind of put that all under the umbrella of sacrificial law. Okay. And the Gemara says, for lo amrilei, they will say, this is actually quite fascinating. So Rav Papa said, I was sitting in front of Rav Acha bar Yaakov, and I was so bothered by this statement. And I wanted to tell him, what are you talking about? How could it be that there's something that a Jew could eat that a Gentile can't eat? But yet, for lo amrilei, but I didn't say anything. Da amina high time akamar, because I realized he espoused his logic. In other words, he explained it. It's just, again, I will say, as much as it does not sound intuitive, at the end of the day, it makes sense because the criteria for consumption are fundamentally different by a Jew and by an non-Jew. I will say, I just want to point out what a profound idea this is that you see in the statement by Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, I was ready to say something, but essentially what happened? He did something dramatically amazing, which was what? He thought before he spoke. I know, incredible, like overwhelming. Right? He thought before he spoke. And then he realized, I shouldn't say this. We'll say, because otherwise, why is the Gemara including this, right? We'll see, you hear these lines. Rav Papa said, I was sitting in front of Rav Acha bar Yaakov, and I wanted to say something, but I thought about it, and I didn't say it. Okay, Ishkayach, why are you telling me this? Because it's a novelty to think before you speak. It's a novelty to kind of take a step back and think about, here's what I want to say. And number one, how should I say it? And number two, ultimately, should I say it? And Rav Papa went through this process, and he realized, I don't need to say it. And I will say, how much difficulty and how much heartache and how much sadness would we save ourselves if we were zocha to employ the same exact process? I'm about to say something. Analysis. Number one, should I say it? Could very well be that the answer more often than not is might be no. It's just not a necessary thing to say. And then if the answer is yes, that I should say it, then step number two is, how should I say it? To think before we speak. It's the proper use of the greatest gift we have, the Koach HaDibor, and also it's just a tremendous approach to saving ourselves from so much heartache in life. So the Gemara goes weiter. V'lo amrilei, good. Tanya, the look of Rav Acha bar Yaakov. There is a price and not like Rav Acha bar Yaakov. What did Rav Acha bar Yaakov say? And I will say, by the way, I'll also just mention, this is one of the greatest challenges, especially in our age of instant communication. Right? I will say, like, everyone's on some kind of chat where someone posts something, then someone says something back, and you're like, why? Why? Like, why did you have to say that? Why did you have to do that? It's so nonsensical, so irrelevant, so silly, sometimes even hurtful, right? It's instant communication, and even if you're fast enough on WhatsApp that you could delete it, right? Someone always saw it, right? Someone always saw it. To take time to really analyze, is a response warranted? And if it is, okay, sometimes it is, how should it be done? So the Gemara goes, I tell you, Dolker Vacher by Yaakov. I wrote, Lechol mi behema, kol vishetetei nafsha. So this is actually fascinating. So you have a braisa, not like Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Now again, remember, what did Rav Acha bar Yaakov say? Rav Acha bar Yaakov said that, halacha lemaisa, if you want to go ahead and eat from an animal after shechita, even if the animal is still moving, totally mutter. We can do it, an Akum can't do it. Now the Gemara says, I have a braisa, not like Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Now watch this. Now we'll say, look at Rashi. Harotze lechol, mishum dem, look at Rashi. Harotze lechol, it's almost right across in Rashi. If you move your finger to the right, there are six lines down. Harotze lechol, mishum dem male. If one wants to eat the best type of meat, what's the best type of meat? Kodem sheteitse nafsha. I will say, the best type of meat is to remove it from the animal before the animal fully stopped moving. In other words, obviously after shechita, right after shechita, before the animal even stopped moving, get the meat out. Chotech kizayis basar mibeis hashechita. Go ahead and take a kizayis of meat. Now, by the way, we'll say kizayis is just an expression. You could take more, you could take less, it doesn't make a difference. Take a kizayis of meat mibeis hashechita from the neck. Now, why the neck? Because the neck, obviously, is the most easily accessible part of the animal post-shechita. What the Gemara is highlighting, what Rav Acha bar Yaakov is saying is like this. So apparently, meat that is taken from the animal literally right after shechita is like the best flavor. So how do you get meat right after Shechita? Take it from the neck. Molcha yafa yafa, salted very well. Because remember, again, you're getting it right after slaughter. So you haven't had a chance, let's say, for the meat to expel all of its blood. Umadicha yafa yafa, wash it down very well. Umamtin la ache teitzei nafsha. But you have to wait to eat it. You have to wait to eat it until the animal fully dies. Right, dies dead. Right, va'ochla. Listen to this, va'ochla. Then you can eat it. Echad ovikochavim ve'echad yisrael mutarin. Both, and this is true. This is good both for a Jew and for an akum. Look at Rashi. Umamtin la'az sheteitzei nafsha. Darmina barba misos minayin she'asur lechol minabehema kodim sheteitzei nafsha. Tamulamar lo sochel adam. So Rabbi will say, this is the halacha lemaisa. As much as we said that technically speaking, after you shecht an animal, you can eat it, right? Because again, it's shechita that is the matir. We do not eat from the animal until the animal stops moving. That's the halacha. Now we're going to see, here Rashi makes it sound like that's a daraisa, right? We're going to see whether or not that's a daraisa or that's just a drabanon. But either way, the Yisrobos here, what the Gemara is advising, I want the best piece of meat. The best piece of meat is taken from the animal right after shechita. So what do? Take it off the animal right after you slaughter, right? Take it from the neck. It's easily accessible. Salt it well. Wipe it down. Wash it down well. But don't eat it until the animal fully stops moving. If you want to be healthy, so apparently if you want to eat food that has tremendous health effect, after slaughtering the animal, go ahead and cut a kizayis of meat from the neck. Salt it very well. Umadicho yafa yafa, wipe it down very well. Umamtin la ache teitse nafsha, but you have to wait to eat it until the animal is dead. Echad ovekochavim vechad yisrael mutarim bo. And then at that point, both the Jew and the non-Jew ultimately again are permitted to eat this. Therefore, it turns out that we don't pass the Rav Achara Yaakov wanted to suggest that as soon as you do shechita, the animal is permitted for consumption. Halacha lemaisa, the Gemara clearly says no. Both Jew and Akum need to wait until the animal is dead, in order to be able to consume it. Incredible. Let's go weiter. So as it says in the Mishnah, really interesting sugya. Hashochei b'mechai v'of v'lo yotza mehem dam. It's an interesting case over here. Let's say you went ahead and you shechted an animal, and no blood came out of the animal. Whatever the mitzias is. Right? No blood came out of the animal. What's the halacha? Ksherim. Ultimately, the animal is kasha. So both said, it's very important. The absence of blood by shechita does not invalidate the shechita. Sounds like something might be wrong with the animal. Right? But lamaisa doesn't invalidate the shechita. Again, both said, now our topic over here is tum and tara. Now watch this. V'ne'echolin b'yadayim misu'avos l'fish l'hoch shiru b'dam. Now both said, now you are allowed to eat that meat with hands that are tummy. Look at Rashi in the Mishnah Yom Misu Abos. Kilomar belone tila. The Gazra leim liyoshni osu. The Gemara parich afilu hok shunami ein os ein sheni osu. We'll get to that. So remember again, we have a concept of stam yadayim, regular hands. Ultimately, again, are tummy. That's a rabbinic gezeira. So generally, you would want to go ahead and wash your hands prior to eating, in order not to convey any tumah to the food item that you are ingesting. So the Gemara suggests, something very interesting over here now. In general, remember, in order for food to become hokshla tumah, what has to happen? For food to become hokshla, right, receptive to what has to happen? It has to come in contact with a liquid. So what the Mishnah is expressing over here is one of the seven liquids. The Mishnah is expressing over here is as follows. You have an animal, you shechted it, no blood came out of the animal. If no blood came out of the animal, then what does that mean? The meat is not receptive to Kabbalah's Tumah. It cannot be Makabal Tumah. So because of that, I can handle that meat even with ritually impure hands and I'm good to go. Why? Because in the absence of contact with a liquid, ultimately the meat is not receptive to Tumah. Beautiful. Rabbi Shimon says, no. Rabbi Shimon says, not true. Rabbi Shimon says that halacha lemaisa, it is the act of shechita that makes the meat receptive to tumah. And Rashi says over hokshu b'shechita, migo deshar yeshechita lahach baser midi ever menachai meshav leinami uchla legabi tumah. The Rabbi Shimon says like this: the same way that shechita permits the food for consumption, takes it out of rama of ever menachai, it also goes ahead and makes it receptive to tumah. So fundamental machlokas. So again, you check the animal, there's no blood. Is the meat receptive to tumah or not? Tanakama, no. Rabbi Shimon, ultimately, yes. Good. So we'll say, let's analyze. Says the Gemara, Taimo, Tolo Yatzim and Dam. Now, the reason, ultimately, again, that you can eat the meat with hands that are tameh are because no blood came out of the animal. So the Gemara says, Ha Yatzim and Dam. But yet, if blood did come out of the animal, Nechal Miadam Misuavos. You would not be able to eat the meat with hands which are ritually impure. Right? Now the Gemara says, because why? Because the assumption is that the hands would convey tumah to the meat. The Gemara says, Amai, Yadayim Shnios Hein, Vein Shneini Osa Shlishi B'chulin. But Rabbi says, but remember again, when we say Stam Yadayim, right, regular hands are tumayim, what's their status? Their status is it's a Shneini L'tumah. Now the halacha is a Shneini can't make a shlishi by chulin. Now, sheni can make a shlishi when it comes to other consecrated items, as we'll see in just a bit. But when it comes to chulin, regular, mundane, unconsecrated items, a sheni can't make a shlishi. So, 1 second. Even if my hands are tameh, and even if the meat itself did come in contact with blood, so that it's receptive to receiving tumah, it still should be fine. Why? Because my hands that are a sheni can't make the chulin meat into a shlishi. The Gemara says, 1 second. Maybe Mishnah is talking about kachim. I'll tell you why. Because the Gemara says, Diktani chaya. Dilu kachim chaya bekachim mi'ika. So we'll say, because the Mishnah says, behema chaya and oaf. Chaya is a non-domesticated animal, like a deer, right? There's no such thing as a chaya that is brought sacrificially. So because of that, since the Mishnah says chaya, we're clearly talking about chulin. Visu, furthermore, ibe kachim. Furthermore, again, we're talking about karbanos. If you have a karban that you shecht and no blood comes out of that karban, why would you say that karban is kasher? If there's one thing you need by karbanos more than anything, it is what? Blood. It is blood, right? Remember, again, we're going back to our zvachim days, right? The ikar of a karban is zrika. Zrika. So if you have a karban and there's no blood that comes out of that animal is not going to be good. Furthermore, ibekadshim. When it comes, if we're talking about karbanos and mishnah, kiyatsa mehendam bimachshir. Ultimately, again, if blood were to come out, would that make it hokshul kavol tumah? V'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, minayin ledam kachim she'ena machshir. So, listen to this. As much as blood is one of the seven liquids that makes something receptive to tumah, at the end of the day, that is not blood of kachim. Not blood of kachim. Why not? Listen to this. So, this is fascinating. Shneimar ala aretz. So Moses says, this is very interesting. How do we know that blood is makshir something l'tumah? Because blood is compared to water. Where is blood compared to water? Where the Torah says, ala ares tishpechenu kamayim. Pour out the blood. This is about the prohibition to go ahead and consume blood. So pour out the blood on the ground like water. So blood is compared to water. Dam shenishpach kamayim makshir. So what do you see from here? It's only blood that is spilled out, like water, that ultimately, again, makes something receptive to tumah. But blood that is not spilled out on the ground does not make something receptive to tumah. What is an example of blood that's not spilled out on the ground? Blood of kachim, blood of karbanos. Visu, furthermore, all we're trying to show over here is that the Mishnah, can't remember, anyone say, take a step back. What did the Mishnah say? I shecht an animal and there's no blood. What's the halacha? I can handle the meat of that animal even with my hands, which are tameh. Why? Because since there was no blood, the meat didn't become receptive to be makabel tumah, therefore we're good to go. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. What's the issue over here? Even if there was blood, right? And even if the meat is receptive to tumah, my hands are shneos. And my sheni hands can't make chulin a shlishi. To which the Gemara says, hold up. Maybe we're not talking about chulin, maybe we're talking about kachim. And a sheni can create a shlishi by kachim. So all the Gemara now is trying to show is how we know we're not dealing with kachim. Resu, iba kachim, we're talking about kachim, kilo yatsa mehem dam lo miskashri. So if you want to say, even if it didn't bleed, the meat should still be receptive to tumah. Why? Liskashri b'chibas hektish. So we've had this term often. Chibas hektish means that by definition, hektish makes it sensitive, right? Makes it sensitive ultimately again to tumah. Amar Gemara says the kaimalon chibas hakodesh machsharton. That literally chibas means the love of hektish, the sensitivity and the holiness of hektish should make it hokshal kabal tumah. Amra Nachem, Amra Baravua, Hacha Bechulin Shalakham Bekesef Maisraskinon. Oh, what's the case of the Mishnah, Bosai? The case of the Mishnah is Chulin, right? Chulin animals that were purchased with Maiser Sheni money. Watch this. Not in accordance with Rabbi Meir. What does that mean? This is not about Sayyid Amadeus. This is not. Kalaton Biasmai Mendivre Sopim, Metame Esakodesh, Uposla Satruma, Umutter Bechulin Ubemaiser Divre Emer. So watch this. Anything ultimately, again, literally translated, is anything that requires coming into water, which is another way of saying ultimately, again, anything that is tahar midoraisa and tame midrabanan. Right? Look, if you look at the first Rashi on Lamed Gimel Beis, kal tam v'yasam midrabanan sofrim, kol shum min ha-torah tahar, the sofrim gozru alav tuma. So anything that is tame midoraisa, but ultimately, again, sorry, anything that is tahar midoraisa, but ultimately tame midrabanan. And Chazal went ahead and said that you have to immerse it in a mikvah. What's a good example of this? Yadayim. Hands are a perfect example. So both say, midaraisa, what's the status of my hands? Totally tar. Totally tar. Chazal came along and said, my hands have a tumah status. And therefore, again, how do I rectify it? I could immerse my hands, and my hands are totally tar. So what's the halacha? In any of these cases, mitamei asa kodesh, they have the ability to convey tumah to hagdish, to kodesh. Poslas atruma, they have the ability to go ahead and invalidate truma. Umutter bechulin ubemaiser, and also again they have no impact on chulin and no impact on items purchased with maiser sheni money or maiser sheni itself. These are zaymer. The chum say osrim maiser. The chum say no. You have to be careful with ritually impure hands when it comes to maiser sheni. So both say so. Maybe our mishnah is talking about chulin animals, which were purchased ultimately again with Maiser Sheni money. And therefore, again, in general, I have to be careful about making sure my hands are pure before touching that. And therefore, what is the Mishnah teaching me? The Mishnah is teaching me that if I slaughtered this Maiser Sheni animal and there was no blood, I can handle the meat with my hands. Why? Because even though my hands are Tameh, the meat never became Hochshar Lekabal Tumah. Incredible. Incredible. So the Gemara says, Maskif Rav Sina Bar Ashi. So Rashi said, one second. Mimai dilma avkan lo pligi rabban alei Rabbi Meir ela bachilas meiser. So Rashi raises the kasha. He says, one second. Maybe the rabbanon only argue on Rabbi Meir where ela bachilas meiser. Maybe their machlokis is only by consumption. Ava benigia de meiser, when it comes to actually touching the meiser sheni, vachila de chulin and consumption of chulin lo pligi. Maybe they don't argue. I vahanigiyehi. And our case over here is talking about a case of contact. Midiktani, listen to this. Ne'echalin biyadayim misu'avos. Ultimately, again, I will say, so ne'echalin, remember again, means one could eat it, but it also means it could be fed to others. Milo askinon tikasafi lechavrei. Maybe we're talking about a case where I myself am not eating it, but rather, what am I doing? I'm feeding it to my friend. Ella Amra Papa Rav said, okay, what's the case? I will say, so now watch this. So again, I will say, one more time. We're just trying to figure out what's the case of the Mishnah. Right? Because the Mishnah taught me a halacha. What's the halacha? I shecht an animal, no blood comes out. What does the Mishnah say? I can handle that meat without purifying my hands. Right? Normally, again, I will say, the default of hands is that they're tameh. The default of hands, rabbinic tumah, my hands are a sheni. So therefore, again, in the days of tumah and tara, I would have to be careful about handling a food item which came in contact with a liquid and therefore was hokshel kabel tumah. So therefore the Gemara says, if I shechted the animal, there was no blood, I can handle the meat even with impure hands. Not a problem at all because the meat is not hokshel kabel tumah. The Gemara says, we're just trying to figure out what's the case. It can't be chulin because if it's just a regular case of chulin, my sheni hands can't create a shlishi by chulin. So we're just trying to figure out, so what is the case of the Mishnah? So next try. So we just rejected the previous expression, or previous approach. So the Gemara says, here we go. Rav Shimon ben Elazar. No, sorry. Good. So I'll say we are on Lamed Gimel Beis 33b2468 lines after the Zav. Elam Rapapa. Here's what we'll say. Trying to interpret the case of the Mishnah. Hacha biyadayim tchilos askinan. Oh, this is fascinating. We're not talking about a case of hands which are a sheni. We're talking about a case of hands which are a rishon. Wow. So we'll say, Rashi says over here, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rashi's much further than Rashi. Is about six lines up from before, it becomes wide. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Me'adayim Tchilos, Huskra Eitzel Chulun, Me'adayim Shnios, Kigon Stam, Me'adayim Huskra Eitzel Truma, La'asos Shish Shil Posla. So we'll say, what's the case of Me'adayim Tchilos? Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar, he, Tisanya, Ein Yadayim Tchilos L'chulun. When it comes to Chulun, there's no such thing as having hands, which are Rishon. The Rishon Lazar, Rishon Rameir, Yadayim Tchilos L'chulun, Ushnios L'truma. No, you could have a case of hands, which are Tchilos, which means a Rishon, ultimately again for Chulun, and Shnios L'truma, which means again, I will say, in all of these cases, hands, which are Tchilos, can create problems for Chulun. Hands, which are Shnios, can create problems for Truma. So the Gemara says, Tchilos L'chulun in, L'chumalo. So I'll say, does that make sense? That you could have hands that are Tchila, that are Tchilos, that are essentially like a Rishon, for Chulin and not for Truma. Hachin Kamar, this is what it means to say. We're going to explain this case in just a moment, because remember, what the Gemara has not told us is, how can you ever have a case of hands which are Tchilos? We're going to discuss that. Hachin Kamar, this is what it means to say, Tchilos af L'chulin, Shnios L'truma in L'chulin lo. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand. Umi ikadayim Tchilos. Rabosai, this doesn't make any sense. How can you ever have a case of hands which are tchilos? Rabosai, the assumption is if the hands have that level of tumah, that they are tchila. Tchila means a high level, initial stage of tumah. Then what else should be happening? The whole body. So how are you ever going to have a case of hands that have a heightened level of tumah, ultimately again without the rest of the body? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you how. I'll tell you how the Gemara says, in Disanya, Hichnis Yad Rabbi Sabinuga. So we'll say, watch this. What happens if you extended just your hands into a house with tsaras? Right? So my body's staying outside, I extended my hands inside. What's Talacha? Yad of Tchilos de Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, ultimately, again, my hands are Tchilos, my hands are Rishon. Isn't that fascinating? Just my hands are Rishon. That's Rabbi Akiva. Chum the Chum say, Yadav Shnios. Chum say, no, your hands are not the Rishon, but rather, again, your hands are going to be Shnios. And I will say, but bottom line, what do you see from here? The Holy Alma, Bia B'mikzas, Lo Shma Bia. And I will say, what do you see from here? Bia B'mikzas, partial entry is not considered to be full entry. Right? Because remember, again, if you all Bia B'mikzas, Shma Bia, partial entry is whole entry, then what? As soon as you stick your hands in, then what should be the halacha? Ultimately, again, then your whole body's tummy. So the fact that halacha l'maisa, now again, so what do you see from here? There's a machlokes as to what grade of tumah the hands take on. But everyone is agreeing that it is the hands and only the hands which are tumayim and nothing else. And nothing else. So firstly, you see from here, bia b'mikzas, lo shma bia. Which I will say, by the way, is such a tremendous Moshe Ha skill. Right? So in life, bia b'mikzas, lo shma, what does this mean? Either you're in or you're out. Right, either you're in or you're out. Like at the end of the day, right, a person has to learn to commit. And here's the beautiful part of commitment. Commitment doesn't have to mean commitment for the rest of my life. Commitment just means that whatever you're doing now, be fully vested in it. What about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? Whatever tomorrow's going to be, tomorrow's going to be. We often mistake commitment for longevity. So I can't make any commitments beyond the here and now because I don't control beyond the here and now. But what I do control is how committed I am to the moment right in front of me. Commitment means whatever you're doing, be fully vested in that particular endeavor. Why? Because bia b'mikzas, lo shma bia. Partial entry, partial commitment, ultimately, again, does not yield any true quantitative results. Tremendous yisod. V'hacha, b'gzira yadav, atu gufo kumifunis. What's the machlokis over here? The machlokis over here, I will say, is actually quite fascinating. Quite fascinating. Do we say that there's a gzira, that once you extend part your hands, you're going to extend the rest of your body as well? Mar sabar, yadav kegufo shavin rabbanon. So ultimately, again, one opinion says, we treat the hands like the body. So we'll say, what does it mean we treat the hands like the body? Just like the body can become a Rishon, so too the hands can become a Rishon. And the other opinion says, no, the hands are treated like hands. Hands in general have a status. What's the status? Ultimately, again, of a Sheni. Shabbos says, so interestingly enough, the point over here is that we're seeing that there's a case of where hands can become a Rishon. Right? What's that case? That case ultimately, again, is according to Rabbi Akiva, where you stick your hands into a house of Tzara'as, the rest of your body doesn't enter. Bia b'mikzas, lo shma bia, partial entry, does not result in incomplete entry. Therefore, the hands will be tameh. Ultimately, again, the rest of the body remains tar. The level of tumah on the hands, that's the machlokas, but at least there is an opinion that says, Rabbi Akiva, that Allah l'maisa, your hands are rishon. Incredible. I have a look at Rabbi Akiva, damar yad of tchilo, sabyan. So let's set up our Mishnah as dealing with Rabbi Akiva. Maybe that's our Mishnah. Tilmoki kam Rabbi Akiva, hani mili b'chuma v'kadshin, d'chamiri. Aval chulin shnias havyon. Just one second. Maybe even Rabbi Akiva, who holds that when you put your hands into a home of tzaras, that your hands become tmeim, right? A rishon. Maybe that's only for truma and kodesh. Who says that that applies ultimately again for chulin? Vele havnan lami shnios. Shem says, so fine. So let them at least be shnias. To which the Gemara says, "Dahashamina le Rabbi Akiva damer sheni osa shlishi b'chulin," because Rabbi Akiva ultimately again is of the opinion that Allah Almighty says sheni can make a shlishi. So Rabbi says this is incredibly important. So the Gemara wants to suggest as follows: So Allah Almighty, the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Akiva, you could come up with a great case. We can make it ultimately again according to Rabbi Akiva. You put your hands into a house of tzaras, your hands become a rishon. Now again, rishon can make even chulin potentially into a sheni. Beautiful. That's our Mishnah. Maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Akiva only says your hands become a rishon only when it comes to truma and kodesh, but not for chulin. To which the Gemara says, okay, there's another possibility. Maybe Rabbi Akiva holds that a sheni could create a shlishi by chulin. We're going to stop over here for a minute. I'm going to leave you on this cliffhanger. So tomorrow we'll begin with Rabbi Akiva. Sheni can make a shlishi even by chulin, and maybe that's the interpretation of the Mishnah. Resolution of Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah. Resolution tomorrow, Bosai. Shkoyach. Everyone's gonna have a great day, everyone.